Coming up, Haines Fire Chief resigns after DUI arrest, and Skagway family uses sandwiches to raise cash for school shooting survivors. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Barrett Wilbur. Those stories and more up next. On February 10th, Haines Fire Chief Brian Clay was arrested for driving under the influence. A few days later, on February 13th, Haines Borough Manager Deborah Schnabel announced publicly at an assembly meeting that Clay had resigned from his position as chief.
Chief Clay, the fire chief, has resigned from his position, and the assistant chief, who is Al Giddings, has moved into his position.
Giddings would also not comment on Clay's reasons for resigning.
Due to voluntary resignation by the fire chief and a request for a leave of absence, the assistant chief will fill the position until the position can be filled at a later date.
He says Clay has requested a 6-month leave of absence from the department. When asked, Clay declined to comment on his reason for resigning. Schnabel would also not say why Clay resigned. Alaska court records show that Clay was arrested for driving under the influence on February 10th. He was pulled over for failing to use a turn signal and took an alcohol test that registered at 0.178, more than twice the legal limit. He was also charged with a misdemeanor for possessing firearms while impaired. Police reported a loaded shotgun and a rifle within reach of the driver's seat in his truck. Clay says he has retained a lawyer and pleaded not guilty in his arraignment. Court records show Clay admitted to being impaired and operating a vehicle while under the influence of alcohol to police at the time of his arrest. While Haines' fire service is provided by a volunteer fire department, Clay received a salary from the borough for his work as chief. According to borough code, his duties included the care, custody, and control of all firefighting equipment and property, drilling and directing firefighters, keeping records, arranging service contracts, preparing the department's budget, and more. Haines Borough Code outlines that a fire chief is elected by the members of the department and then confirmed by their borough manager. Giddings says a new chief will be chosen within 2 months, in time to notice and then hold an election, as laid out by fire department bylaws. Clay is also a member of the Haines School Board. He says he'll remain on the board. Last week, 17 people, including students and staff, were killed in a mass shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Many others were injured. Thousands of miles away, in Skagway, Alaska, one family wanted to help those affected. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
When Skagway resident Greg Getz heard the news, he knew he wanted to offer some sort of support.
My wife and I saw that on TV, and, you know, for no other reason, like, you're just walking around the house, you start getting choked up. And, you know, you have no personal connection with these people because what you see, you feel like you do, you know. And so we really didn't know what to do. And so we put that thing on Facebook, you know, asking if everybody else had felt the same way, and they did. And that's how it all started.
Getz put a message out on the Skagway Swap Facebook page, a community marketplace. He said he and his wife Diana were thinking of holding a fundraiser to benefit the victims and families of those affected by the Florida shooting. The idea? To sell barbecue sandwiches for a $5 donation. Getz says he put together similar fundraisers twice before, when he lived in Nome, but wanted to make sure it was feasible in the small community of Skagway. He lived in Texas for 17 years, and that's where the barbecue inspiration comes from. More than 100 people responded to the Facebook post. They said they'd take 4, 10, even 20 sandwiches in a few cases. Getz estimates they sold 190 or 200 in total.
We normally keep track of the buns by the bags that we have. Well, there were so many kids helping out that, I mean, everybody came, and it was just my wife and I setting this thing up. Well, when they saw that we were having trouble, everybody jumped in. They started helping out. So some of the bags kind of got thrown away, but I'm just guessing somewhere around there.
And the donations are still coming in. Getz says they total about $1,700 so far. He's hoping that reaches $1,800.
I've never done it for anything like this, and the other fundraisers I had up in Nome, they were cash. You know, you collect the money, you give it to the family, and that's the end of it. So this one's a little bit different.
Getz says he plans to donate the money raised by the community through the fundraising website GoFundMe. The Getz family will continue collecting donations until Thursday afternoon. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
A few weeks ago, KCAW reported on a weather app called MPing, which allows the National Weather Service to use real-time information from the public to fine-tune its forecasts. Shortly after that story aired, the use of MPing increased in Alaska, and the scientist who invented it is pretty excited. Besides helping make better forecasts, MPing is also a sophisticated research tool. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
I didn't ask for Kim Elmore's business card because there is no way it could fit in my wallet.
I am a research scientist 3 with the Cooperative Institute for Mesoscale Meteorological Studies at the University of Oklahoma and work at the National Severe Storms Laboratory.
Mesoscale meteorology, I think, is what you see when you visit a city in the lower 48 states and turn on the local news, weather, and sports. The weather person stands in front of a map of the city and the surrounding counties and tells you what it's going to be like tomorrow. Meteorologists classify their science on spatial and time scales. Mesoscale is what people relate to the most.
Mesoscale is about on the order of a day and in time and about on the order of a state, kind of a plains state like Iowa, in size.
6 years ago, Elmore was part of a working group at the National Severe Storms Laboratory tasked with improving the algorithm used by a new weather radar that could not just see storms but could also identify what was falling, rain, hail, ice pellets, and so on. The lab was already using a web page where people could log on and report a weather observation, but it was tedious to submit a form every time. That's when the seeds of MPing were sown.
Somebody said, you know, there should be an app for that. And we thought for a minute and said, well, yeah, but we don't do apps here. I mean, we do numerical modeling and a lot of programming for simulating thunderstorms and cyclones and weather and you know, all kinds of things, but we don't do apps.
But grad students do apps. Not much later, Elmore ran into a student, Zach Flanagan, in the Flying Cow, the lab's cafeteria, who showed him a weather app he had designed for light plane pilots. Elmore pitched the working group's app idea to him, and MPing was released into the wild, as Elmore puts it, a few months later in December 2012. So why is a weather app designed to improve radar such a great thing? Basically, MPing is a source of a huge amount of data. Prior to its release, the National Weather Service had about 3,000 automated weather stations. Currently, MPing has 50,000 users and climbing, providing instantaneous weather observations from anywhere there's a cell signal. Elmore says companies like FedEx and UPS are using the app to estimate travel times in and out of certain airports. He himself is working on a grant from Purdue University, also studying ways to optimize the delivery of goods depending on weather conditions. Other developers have tapped into MPing data for aviation software.
It's got all kinds of uses, and I'm sure there's tons of things people are using it for that I haven't thought of.
And while you wouldn't necessarily think it's a good idea to adapt delivery schedules or a flight based on weather observations from the public, Elmore says the data, all of which is anonymous, even to the lab, is surprisingly good. Anonymity is part of the reason why MPing is trustworthy.
Because the users are unknown to each other, we don't believe they can affect each other's observations. Somebody can't say, oh, I think it's snow. Oh, you think that's snow? Well, okay, I guess so. They have to determine this on their own. So each observation is what we, when we talk about statistics, like to call truly independent.
But somebody's always going to deviate or just get it wrong, and MPing accounts for that possibility. Elmore says that MPing cross-validates reports and only identifies weather conditions that also have been reported by a large percentage of other users in an area. So MPing, an innocuous app dreamed up in the cafeteria of the National Severe Storms Laboratory, is really quite the boon for mesoscale meteorology. And if you're wondering if I asked Elmore the obvious question, I did.
Is there a guy across the hall who studies micrometeorology?
There is a guy across the hall that studies micrometeorology, but there is a guy upstairs that studies it.
The micrometeorologist upstairs specializes in the planetary boundary layer, Elmore says, and they don't have an app for that yet. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
For KHNS News, I'm Barrett Wilbur. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. Thanks for listening this evening.